Like many kids with autism, Hunter Picknell has trouble expressing himself.
His primary form of communication is sign language, but there's certain things he can't do with his hands and fingers because of his motor planning issues. So he makes kind of his own sign language. It's very idiosyncratic. We often joke around and say that it's sign language with an accent.
Hunter's mother, Melissa Hilton, says when the 9-year-old can't share what he's thinking or feeling, he gets frustrated. That frustration can trigger violent outbursts and dangerous behavior, like smashing his head against the floor or wall. These eruptions caused problems at Hunter's elementary school. He had a one-on-one education aide, but sometimes he'd have meltdowns. When no one could get him to stop, he'd be left alone in the classroom.
They would just watch him through this tiny window like he was a rabid monkey, and instead of comforting him when he was upset, they'd just lock him in this room so he couldn't get out.
Using seclusion or physical restraint is supposed to be a last resort when a child is in danger of hurting himself or others. And schools are required to notify parents within 24 hours. Hilton says she wasn't alerted in that time frame, which made it harder to help her son understand what was happening.
When a kid is the subject of some sort of physical intervention or isolation from their peers, that's important for a parent to know.
Mike Skibbe is with the Disabilities Rights Center. Kids with disabilities are 25 times more likely to be restrained, according to the UNH CARSI Institute. That finding is consistent with a federal investigation, which brought national attention to the issue in 2009. It highlighted hundreds of alleged cases across the country, resulting in severe injury and death. New Hampshire rewrote its laws the next year, banning certain techniques and adding the 24-hour reporting requirement. But critically, the law also included an exception. Any restraint that is considered, quote, brief, doesn't need to be reported. In practice, this has led to very few instances inside group homes ever showing up in state filings.
Obviously, you see all these zeros here. It's obviously not the case that all of those organizations had no physical restraints. The exception around it was, frankly, wide enough to drive a truck through.
David Villiotti is executive director of the Nashua Children's Home. It's one of the few residential treatment centers in the state that didn't simply classify every restraint as brief and leave it unreported. Villiotti says his staff is diligent about keeping parents informed, but believes physical restraints are needed in volatile situations.
We know it's serious business. We know whenever we put our hands on kids with the resistance that kids offer, there's the risk of injury, and we know that that can happen. But when we do need to put our hands on kids, that do it in a way that's safe and non-harmful.
One place that reports zero incidents is New Hampshire's juvenile detention facility called the Sununu Center. Maggie Bishop oversees the Division for Juvenile Justice Services.
We document when it happens, and I think that at least weekly and sometimes daily, a child or children have to be separated.
Bishop says parents do get notified, even if state officials don't get a write-up. The state is, however, backing a bill moving through the legislature that would make it easier to track the use of restraints. The measure would close the loophole allowing so-called brief restraints to go unreported. It also sets strict guidelines for secluding children and clarifies that neither restraint nor seclusion can be used as punishment. Many close to this issue see this as progress. That includes Eric Herlin, an attorney who represents school districts. He cautions, though, that this is a complicated issue and that the new standards may put too much pressure on educators to record what may amount to normal contact with students.
Our teachers should be teaching kids rather than writing reports.
But advocates argue the tighter standards make clear exceptions for benign exchanges, like a kindergarten teacher hugging a student or a coach interacting with an athlete. And they say making more events reportable will make clear which institutions rely too heavily on potentially dangerous actions against children. Right now, there's no way to know. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.